All right, welcome everyone to peoplesinternetradio.com, and I'm Stephen Roberts. This is a little bit early, special cancel the cabal. I have Tressa Grays with me from Tressa Grays Productions or Publications. Which one is it?
Productions. Remember, we put it all in one.
Well, it's been a while since you've been on, so welcome back to the show. Welcome back on, Tressa.
Thank you, Stephen. It has been a while, and a lot's happened since I've been on the show, I think.
And as a lot of people will see when the video comes out on YouTube a little bit later on tonight, we both have green screen effects, and we have the Dark Hours Radio podcast video looping in the background. So that's a nice, neat little thing. Both of us have green screens, and we have that effect going on. So what are we talking about today, Tressa?
Everything I can fit in.
Yeah.
I think last time I was on, all I had done was the Stalking Monster, the first part of the 8-part series. And I have finished 2 parts now, and I'm working on part 3. First part of Stalking Monster, I just called it the Stalking Monster because that's the prequel. And then I started, I'm doing this backwards, kind of like a Star Wars thing. Didn't think of that when I did it. Because in honesty, when I was doing the Stalking Monster, I did it just for a way for me to vent because of the stalking. And then my agent reads it and he calls me up and he says, so what do you think about doing 8 parts to this? And I said, oh God, I don't want to do this for, you know, 8 times, 8 you know, parts. 8 different parts to this, you know? And he says, well, you know, I'm not going to say too much, but he did say major studios won't pick it up unless it's 8 parts. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And so that just me wanting to vent and write is turning into something really big for me. So I did that one. And I've got reviews on that one up. And I'll warn you, if you're planning on reading The Stalking Monster, you're not going to walk away from it with a warm feeling in your tummy. It's not...
not for the faint-hearted.
No, it's not. And to tell you the truth, when my agent got The Stalking Monster, he read the first part, right? And he calls me up and I said, I knew something was wrong. As soon as he called me, I knew something was wrong. And I said, oh God, what is it? And he says, I'm really uncomfortable with some of the stuff in this book. And I said, well, yeah, I would imagine, but it's real deal because it's inspired by actual events. And it's like, how can someone be that sick, you know? So I put everything in the story.
He doesn't even know half the part of it, though, does he?
Well, me and him have talked a lot on the phone, and he knows a lot of what's going on. And he's another one that's not happy at all about the stuff I've gone through and everything that this guy's done to me, you know? So he's not happy at all, but he understands where I'm coming from. And I had a review on the Stalking Monster, and in the review, the person said, Tressa Graves actually went somewhere where other writers don't want to go, meaning the direction that I took in the book. And Stephen knows what I'm talking about with this. Remember, it's inspired by actual events and stuff. So I just took what was dealt to me over 3 years of stalking. I think Sam said March 1st to be 3 years. And 3 years ago on March 1st was when I ended up in the emergency room. I couldn't breathe. I had had a breakdown. And
I know. I was in Kansas City.
You were in Kansas, yeah.
Calling 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, it was a dark, hard time for me. And I didn't think I was going to ask Stephen. I look back on it now and I'm like, okay.
Well, you wanted to give up like 6 times.
Yeah, I did because I was scared. You know, I was scared of this person. So I wanted to give up. And of course, I had Stephen right there, you know, telling me, what's your problem, you know? And, yeah, Stephen, he put up with me and was there for me more times than I can tell people, you know, when I was having the hard times, you know, because Sam was working and stuff. And I remember the first time I got the video of the gunshots to the head. I was freaking out at that time. And I called Knox County out here and I won't say the FBI agent's name. That'll come out in the true story book that I'm doing. But that's when they took it serious, you know, because I had been threatened with death, you know, with other things and stalk saying, hey, look outside your door. There's a man standing outside your door. They're in the forest behind your house. And
Kenny, the cops called on you because they said Sam was beating you.
Sam was beating me. We were doing drugs in the house. And he did that on my birthday. And that's probably one of the most hard things that I had to deal with, too, because I was down at Sam's job. And I was talking to some friends down there and, you know, my kids call and they say someone's banging at the door. So I jump in the car and I'm doing like 90 coming home, not in my right mind. I was so scared. You gotta think about it. When you're being stalked, this person played mind games with me. And Steven knows that for a really long time. And then I was gang stalked too. So it wasn't just him doing it. I was gang stalked by other people. So I'm doing 90 driving home and I'm on the phone with 911 because they got the house on a 24-hour watch, you know, and Knox County's been great. So they said, it's us at the door. We need you to get there ASAP. And they didn't tell me anything. Can you imagine being on the phone with 911, knowing you're being stalked and threatened, and they're telling you, you need to get home as soon as you can? Can you imagine what was going through my head with my kids here?
Yeah, exactly.
It was, and that's what I'm talking about, mind games. It was terrifying, you know? And not to mention, I wasn't in my right mind. I was doing 90 trying to get home. I could have wrecked the car, you know, not thinking about, you know, all I wanted to do was get home. So I get here and there's four Knox County squads out in my driveway. And the police sergeant was out there. And when I got out of the car, I literally collapsed in the driveway and they came up to me and, you know, they were helping me up and stuff and saying, you know, he called us and told us that you were being beaten in the house. And that has been done numerous times. I had detectives come out here in undercover cars. It's weird because I walked outside and looked outside the window. I saw three squads and an undercover police car parked across the street at my neighbor's house. Not to mention, this is embarrassing for me. So I go, great, they're coming to my door. And sure enough, they were knocking at the door saying, are you okay? They were looking at me to see if I had bruises on me. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I said, you guys need to call the FBI agent who's working my case. So now when any calls come in to keep me from having to go through all of these things that are happening, the FBI agent has it where the calls are directed to him.
Yeah.
And Knox County knows if there's not, I mean, we've got certain things that we've set up with them now saying if the call don't come from this or this number, it's not real, you know? And so it's just been crazy. And just to have, you know, and that's just the stuff I've told people. He called 911 and posted it on YouTube and said, I threatened his life on Twitter and that Twitter told him to call the police and report me to the police for death threats. He is literally, and I'm going to release all this after my court trial's over, so everyone will be able to get in and all the details and stuff. But he called Knox County and told them, was telling them, oh, you know who this person is. They've been in trouble with you several times. You guys have been out to their house numerous times. It just goes on and on and on. And they're like, you can hear the ladies because I know who they are. And they're sitting there going, hold on. And they go get another dispatcher to come on. And it's like, you're calling us because you're saying the person you're stalking is now threatening you to kill you on Twitter. What kind of crap is that to waste police time with? You know what I'm saying? It's and that's why the detective who's working my case said, and this is the worst stalking case he's ever seen. So come to find out that I almost said his name. I don't want to say his name. I don't know if he knows his name or, you know, anything like that. But He looked at me at the FBI office because we got, I thought it was exciting. I got to go up in the FBI, here you had to show them your ID and all this stuff. And it was pretty cool because I got to go up in their place there. And he's sitting there looking at me and he goes, "You're a public figure." I said, "Yes, I am." He says, "It is a felony to stalk a public figure."
Yes, it is.
So I was like, finally, something coming good. Out of me writing and stuff. So stalking a public figure is a federal crime. 3 to 5 years in federal prison. So you can imagine how excited I was to hear that, but anyway, the stalking monster was written to help to try and help me cope because I was in counseling for a year. I was going to counseling every week, and I finally got out of counseling and they actually want me to go back and talk to other women because they said, "You're pretty strong, Tressa, to keep going on and doing what you're doing." So I sat down and I was writing the stalking monster and just sent it out. And I sent it to my agent. I was like, "Here, check this out, And when he asked me if I wanted to do 8 parts, I'm like, "No." But when that they, that a studio wouldn't work with anything that was less than 8 parts. I said, okay,
All
and
right.
come to find out, I might have too many series
You changed my
that,
mind.
huh?
Okay, you twisted my arm. You changed my mind.
Yeah. And I sent him, I'm not going to say the company or anything, but I sent him a message today and I said, "You know what? If I have to do nothing but write for this company, for a mini series,
So be
you
it.
talk into it."
So be it. Yep.
So be it. I'll do it, but anyway, so I did that and it turned into something. I guess people are interested in other people's, life stories and all that stuff. So the stalking monsters raised a lot of attention. People were really interested in it, especially knowing, I've been stalked for 3 years.
Well, the title's gonna immediately grab a lot of people.
Yeah. And the title, Stephen, when I named it, I was just like, because I used to call him the Monster of Melbourne. And I was like, he's stalking me. So we're just going to do the stalking monster. I didn't put any thought into it,
You know, the Monster in Melbourne is a good title too, though. That'd be a good
It's
title
fun.
for the
That,
well,
yeah. And whenever I get.
I think it should be the Stalking Monster, the Monster of Melbourne.
Well, whenever I do the true crime novel, novel.
Nubble.
I do the true crime novel of the actual stalking of what happened to me. I think we said it's the stalking of Tressa Graves, the monster of Melbourne.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to use that for.
It should be the monsters.
The
You
monsters.
know, the
Well,
rest of the family joined in
everybody
too. The rest of the family joined in too.
the rest of the family joined in, the friends joined in, and it was all fun and games. It's like, oh, the cops ain't after so and so for stalking you. And there's one thing
It's
I learned
fun.
about
It's fun.
stalking.
It's fun lampooning people on the internet, you
It's
know.
fun lampooning, yes, and it's fun putting people in jail.
Yeah.
That's even better. But I forgot where I was going with it now. But as far as like the stalking monster goes, I've got the third part I'm working on now, and the second part is the stalking monster hidden evil, because there's someone pregnant in the story with the monster when he's born, Rod Hunter, who everyone is introduced to pretty quickly in the stalking monster. I get right to it, and instead of being a writer, I made the girl a singer. And she had to end up quitting her singing career because this guy was stalking her so bad. And then she decides to get back out. And if you remember, Stephen, the guy who's stalking me, he says, "You are now retired from the industry. You'll no longer work."
Oh yes, I remember everything.
Yeah. And that's why I need you and Sam and stuff to be there when I start doing the book, because there's stuff that I forget, I talked to the officer last night in Melbourne, Australia, and let's clear that up because a lot of people have asked. This is an American citizen living in Melbourne, Australia. And I found out a lot of stuff today. I told Stephen about his past family of, wow. this was a monster born, which is what I thought, and that's why I did Hidden Evil, because Rod Hunter, his dad is just as bad as he is. And I don't want to give too much away, but that one's called Hidden Evil because Gene Riles ends up getting pregnant with the monster of Melbourne, basically. And in part three, I'm calling it the stalking monster unwanted, because she doesn't want this baby she has inside her. She was brutally raped by a family member. And this person got her pregnant. I don't want to say who the person was, but she ended up, the story takes place in Ames, Iowa. And she ends up getting pregnant and she ends up fleeing because her family is just like insane, you know, murders, robberies, all this stuff. So at the end of the story, it ends with her knowing she's pregnant, her family, you know, whatever's happening to them. And then she moves to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is where the prequel started in the first part. So that's how Rod ended up from Ames, Iowa in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And it's rated 18 plus for a reason. So if you have a queasy stomach, you get offended by certain things, don't pick this up. I'm giving everyone fair warning. This ain't for you. If you have a queasy stomach, if you don't like,
Well, I mean, let's think about it. Netflix is thinking about picking it up for an eight part series. So it's got to be really darn good.
Yeah, and there's a little bit more coming out, maybe, as far as this goes for an eight-part series. Maybe not just a mini-series. We're looking at different things as well. And I've got two studios looking at it, so we'll see what happens with that, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm excited about it, and my agent's really excited about it. We got some news today about certain companies that might be in my favor as far as this goes. But anyone who's interested in going and checking out The Stalking Monster, you can go over to my website or you can go to Amazon. They are not books. They are short stories. And I think they're like $1.99. And it's a really good read for $1.99. I mean, just the title alone and knowing it's inspired by actual events. And this stalking case is, I'm going to end up going to like Congress and stuff to try and get, it's like the FBI agent told me here, there's laws. It's just the laws aren't being, you know, they're not doing what they should do with the laws that are there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over and try to see about passing a new law. Wouldn't that be really cool to have a new law passed under the stalker's name or maybe my name?
The Tressa really Graves, the Tressa Graves law.
Yeah, and just try to get something going because so many people are committing suicide because they're being bullied, they're being stalked. The number of people, Stephen, that have contacted me that have said, oh my God, I'm being stalked. Some of this stuff is happening to me. I get a lot of people contacting me, and it's really cool because some of them, and this makes me feel good, some of them say, you know, your story is helping to inspire me to keep moving forward and doing what I want to do. And that's what I want to, that's my goal. I want to bring awareness and make it easier for other people who are dealing with this, you know? And so I'm just excited about, to begin with, I didn't want anything to do with the Stalking Monster series or anything. I just wanted to do the one thing as venting. And, you know, I've heard people say that that's how some of the greatest stories are made is from
real life. From
people doing accidents.
Yeah, from real life.
Yeah. And that's what's happening with Stalking Monster.
Well, you and I have talked about this many, many times on air and off air. I mean, you really can't make this stuff up, the stuff that he's done. You can't make it up.
There's no way. If I sat down and wrote a stalking book, I could sit down and go through other people who have been stalked, and I could take all their stories, and it wouldn't.
Well, it might compare to yours. Who knows?
Well,
we don't hear from them people.
No,
we don't.
We
hear
don't.
from them women.
We don't. And that's what I'm saying. If I took the ones that we hear from and take their stories, it's like, this is, I talked to a lady, she had an ex-boyfriend, and he was stalking her and her new fiance. They were going to get married. This guy's stalking her so bad. He hides out following them and ends up stabbing her boyfriend like 7 times. And he ended up surviving the attack. Mm. But it's like law enforcement. It's not their fault that if you call them out and they say, look, there's nothing we can really do about what's happening to you, because they have to go by what laws they have. They can't go out and break the law and say, hey, I'm going to go crash this guy's house, or, you know, do whatever I want to do to get this scuzz bucket off the streets. I can't do that. So it's not law enforcement's fault. It's the laws. It's the people in the suits. Me, I'm very fortunate. I have police in the United States and in Australia. This is so serious. This stalking that I have endured is so serious that we have had the federal grand jury in Knoxville, Tennessee, get search warrants and do everything that they have to do for someone that's over in Australia. That's how serious this is.
And the FBI is on it.
Yeah, the FBI agent I'm working with is the one who got the federal grand jury to sign off on these warrants for, we'll say, I'm not going to say too much. I'm going to say he went to him and he says, hey, we need a search warrant for a certain social media site. Let's say Facebook. So a judge signs off on it. They go contact Facebook and say, this is court ordered. A judge signed this. You need to turn over all of this information to us. That's how serious this stalking was, that the federal grand jury got involved in this. Not only did that not hit home with my stalker, he announced that his house was raided by police. He's got videos up. He says, crackhead, which is me. Had the cops go and raid his house. I cannot have the police go raid someone's house without a search warrant.
She's stalking me.
She's stalking me.
Do you remember that? Gaslighting? She claimed you were stalking him.
I was stalking him. And that's what these people do. They will say that they will take everything that they're doing to you. And if you go public, you contact police or anything, they will say you are doing that to them. Yeah. So they turn it and will try to convince police, try to convince the public that you're the one stalking them. And I heard stories from certain law enforcement that says he's crazier than I thought.
by the way, you couldn't see it, but I cleaned a couple of eye boogers out there a minute ago.
Oh my God. Steven's eye booger guy. He's a senile radio host. Uh-huh. And
yeah, that's what it is. I'm a pedophile.
Pedophile. And that's another thing. He put our home address up on biker. He would go to biker sites, biker guys. He would put up our home address with our photos, telling men that Sam rapes kids in the basement and I videotape it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
didn't he also say that you wanted to have sex with some of these people too or something?
He opened up a Pornhub numerous times. Pornhub takes this pretty serious, apparently. And what people don't know is they work with the police, you idiot. So if you're going to sit there and try to do this, it's not a, you know, go on and do it. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
So anyway,
they go after the child trafficking.
Yeah. Well, he opened up a Pornhub account in my name, and he used my photos. He used my modeling photos and all this. And he was contacting guys behind the scenes, telling them I want to be raped. He was giving them the home address. He was doing all this stuff. Yep. So that's a pretty sick and disgusting individual who does something like that. And what's even more disgusting is to find out that this individual's wife is in on it.
Uh-huh.
Being a woman, it's beyond anything I can even imagine.
She's going to pay too. They're both going to pay.
And they always say true life is much scarier than fiction. And that is the case when it comes to what I've dealt with. Just the things that have been done is insane. And then he tried to dox. I had a few fans that came in and they were contacting police. Do you know how many Acorn reports are still being filed on him? Because he is still continuing after his house was raided and they seized all electronics and he still keeps on. How lunatic do you have to be to do that? And knowing my fan base is watching this and they're contacting me and they're filing Acorn reports on him.
Flat out psychotic.
I'm like, file Acorn reports. I give them my, because they contact me. I say, here, this has already been filed. Here's an Acorn report. Put this in there because it had already been filed and just keep sending them into Acorn. And Acorn is Australia's cybercrime unit. And trust me, Stephen, it wasn't easy to get all of these police involved. I was literally sending 10, 15, 20 emails a day. And I was going down to the FBI office and I was sitting outside and I said, I am going to talk to an FBI agent right now. And I kept going. I kept
No
going.
matter what.
Yeah, I was relentless. And the police officer,
They probably said, so and so, go down and talk to her and get her out of here, all right?
get her out of here. Yeah.
And now he's all over the case. Now he's been on the case for the longest time.
Oh my God, he's been awesome. I love him to death.
I can't get rid of her. She's telling
Yeah,
the
they can't get rid of me.
truth.
And it's really cool because last time whenever we actually got to go up inside the FBI building, I was like a kid. They were laughing at me because I was out there going, oh my God, when can I go? When can I go? You know? So we got up there and they were, talking to us and stuff. And on the way
Can
out,
you
the FBI.
imagine if you'd have seen Dolly there? Oh, goodness.
Oh my God, I know. It had been like the perfect day. So he
Dolly
gave
would
me a big hug on the way out, and I've got a great relationship with these police officers, these counselors, and everything because they know what I've been through. You know, it's really cool because when the officer in Australia had first contacted me, I was like, that's when I was on the couch, Stephen, with my loaded 9mm sitting beside me, I was drinking alcohol, I was taking sleeping pills, and the doctor had me on Valium. I was really messed up. So when I was at my wit's end, I was like, no one's going to help me. This is never going to end. So when the officer got a hold of me in Australia, me, I love him to death now. We get along great.
They
But
probably, Acorn probably told him the same thing. Get rid of this woman, would you?
and he knows I'm not going anywhere, right? So he contacted me through email and was asking me questions. You know, I hadn't talked to him on the phone. And I said, so basically what you're saying is you're not going to help me at all, right? And he sends me back a message and he goes, no, I didn't say that. I'm trying to help you. So then I had talked to him on the phone and poor, I feel bad for him, to be honest with you, because him and the FBI agent here in Knox County has been great. I've had police officers come out here and talk to me for an hour in the driveway. It's been, they're just great. But I would call him because the stalker was uploading sex and drug parties. He was doing a group on Facebook. I actually had someone from Facebook contact me too about this. And I was calling this officer in Australia because they're like, when it's daylight, when it's dark here, it's daylight over there. So he's up in the middle of the night. So I call him and I'm like, he's posting stuff again. You know, we need to do something about it.
Well,
And
I think he's on meth, so he's probably up 24 hours a day.
yeah. There's something going on with exactly everything he tried to say I was, which was not true. He tried telling people I was giving money to ISIS who bought my book. He tried telling people I was
You're
a
tweaky.
crack whore, that I did drugs. Do I
You're
look like a crack whore? If I was a crack whore, I'd have dentures by
Well,
now.
he called you a tweaker.
A tweaker. Yeah. And it's just like, what the hell? Everything you're saying about me, you are.
Yeah.
him and his wife, everything they were saying about, which is really scary because they're sitting there saying that we're child pedophiles.
Yep.
What does that say about him and his wife? It makes you wonder.
Didn't he talk, well, I don't even know if I should go into this, about his daughter, him and his daughter and his daughter's friends or something? Or
he had his daughter getting involved in this. She was coming in calling me a whore and all this stuff. His friends on Facebook, there's still two groups up right now where he's, I forget the names of them, but everybody knows I'm a Dolly Parton fan. He's even went in and on one of these groups, and see, I wipe my nose because my hair itches, and he's like, oh, crackheads wiping the wiping the powder off her nose, you know, because I'm sitting here snorting shit while I'm talking, but but his whole family and his friends all got involved, and they went as low. Everyone knows I'm a Dolly Parton fan. He's got Dolly Parton pictures up all over this group attacking me, and it's like, okay, you're just like so freaking crazy. It's like there's no level of crazy that explains what you are, you know. And when the true story comes out, people are going to read that and go, how in the hell did you make it through all that? You know, it wasn't easy. Ask Steven. Yeah. He was there.
Yeah.
But I did it, you know, and he ended up doxing you. Oh, I didn't even know what doxing was.
I didn't know. I didn't care.
Yeah, because I sent it, you know, I asked Steven, I said, is this your address? And Steven's like, yeah. And I was like crying because I didn't want him going after Steven. You know, that really bothered me when he went after you, you know? And yeah, he was doxing Steven. He doxed another friend of mine from Facebook. No telling how many people he's trying to dox right now. But all I got to say is everything that comes through, my fan base is watching. I get emails all the time, you know, of stuff he's doing. And come to find out, when I went to do my book signing here in Knoxville, we had already been to court and house raided and all this stuff. Well, the fan base sends me screenshots of where he posted on my book signing appearances, because I did a book signing with some of the people from, what's the show called? They're going to be mad at me because I can't think of it. The zombie show that's out right now. I think it's on Netflix or
I don't know. I don't watch it.
It's a really popular zombie, and I'm sorry for anybody. I hope you're not getting offended or anything.
The Walking Dead?
I can't think of the name of it, but The Walking Dead. Dang, got it. So I did some book signings with some of the people from The Walking Dead. And he goes over and he posts on the event that you need to watch out for this crackhead. This crackhead's doing crack. This crackhead is just crack right in front of your signing. This crackhead would be bringing in crack. Doing a crack book signing. And it's like,
This crackhead signs her crack.
This crackhead even signed her crack. She'll sign a crack pipe if you give her enough money. You know? She'll sign a crack pipe.
Well, I think we've had enough fun for the day, haven't we?
Probably.
You think we broke the internet today?
I think we're getting a little excited.
Yeah.
Going down old memory lane. But yes, so the new stalking monster is Unwanted. It should be out in hopefully another month or so. Working on that. Go to my website, www.trisgraves.com. If you live outside the U.S., these are all ebooks, so they can be sent to you. No excuse for not purchasing it. And I've got a full-length novel coming out by the end of the year, too. It'll be my first full-length novel since The Sawgrass Footpath, so I'm really excited about that.
Well, that's good. I do need to get going and do other things. I'm sure you do, too, don't you?
You're boring me, Diva. I got to go.
You didn't hear me say that.
I know. I'm just messing with you. But thank you, Stephen, again. Thanks for everyone who's listening, who supports me. Go to the website. You can read up on some of the stalking over there. Pick up a Stalking Monster t-shirt. And there's three parts out now, right?
Yes.
There's the prequel, and the Stalking Monster Hidden Evil.
There's audiobooks. There's audiobooks and all kinds of good stuff. T-shirts.
Yeah, and I've got two new authors coming out through. two through TGP. One of them does a podcast with Steven every week, Tom Sawyer, and then I've got Rodney Reed as well. So you guys go over there and check everything out.
Well, that looks like a pretty good place to end it right there, Trissa.
Yep. Love you, Steven, to death. Considering what I write, I have to put that in there. So thank you, Steven.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Till next time.